Blog Talk Radio.
Did I keep you guessing there, Andrew, for a second? Like, hey, why is it taking so long for me to start the show?
I legitimately jumped because there was no noise, and I pulled out my phone to text you to say I can't hear anything, and then that music started, so I was startled.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening. just nothing appeared on my screen, so that was a little odd, so I wasn't quite sure what was going on there. But yeah, I was trying to figure it out, and then I was like, well, okay, what do I do here? If I talk to Andrew, it's going to go out over the air. So I couldn't just say like, hey, I'm trying to figure out why this isn't working. Cause then everybody, but we figured it out. I have no idea what happened. I think it was probably my issue, but, how are you on this beautiful, beautiful Monday?
I'm doing good. I mean, my weekends are about to get a lot more exciting with Collision.
Yes. There's going to be a lot of collisions on Saturday. I think people will collide within a wrestling ring. So
yeah,
it's a well-named show.
Yeah, I would be disappointed if there wasn't a lot of collisions inside of the ring. There's no dynamite, though.
Well, they tried dynamite once. It didn't really work.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
We tried it. It didn't work. We moved on. How excited are you for this Aubrey Edwards, Karen Jarrett match, though? I mean, holy hell.
1 out of 10, I would say like -5. What about you?
Really? You're that excited, huh? You're way more excited than I am. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dwell on it too much, but who thinks this is a good idea? Come on.
Like, Jeff Jarrett.
Does anybody actually, other than Jeff, does anyone think this is actually a good idea?
No, this is a terrible idea. This is like this feels like crappy WCW, goofy WWE, goofy TNA 2014 or 12. I don't know. This is just like the worst of that type of stuff. Like, I have zero interest in seeing this.
Yeah. Like, it's a negative interest if possible. I just don't understand, with the amount of talent you have on your roster, loads of it. Too much to put on the show right now. I mean, they need a second show because they have so much talent they have to feature. We're going to give airtime to this.
Yeah.
It's not on brand for AEW. Like, everything we hear from people when we criticize AEW, like last week we said that, you know, the storytelling aspect is really important. They don't do it very well. You and I have talked about that, and I'm sure, and I know, because I read ahead on some of the emails, you know, Zach in Texas, we're going to get an email from him later on tonight where he thinks that that's overblown and it's more about the in-ring than the storyline. Well, how do you defend this? Like, because this is storyline, but it's bad storyline, and it's going to be in-ring, but it's going to be bad in-ring. So, like, this is just, it doesn't even fit with their identity, which is we're going to just put on the best matches possible. Even if there's no story behind it, we're going to put on the best matches possible. This is not that. And it's not good storytelling either. So, like, it's the worst of both worlds. I don't even know what to call it. It doesn't fit their identity in any way, shape, or form. And it certainly doesn't go towards what I would like to see.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, too, is, like, they're not even famous. Take, like, Action Bronson or Shaquille O'Neal, who wrestled. You can at least say, like, okay, it's kind of silly, but they're famous. They might bring in some new fans. Nobody's going to tune in, like, who has not been watching wrestling to see Aubrey Edwards face Karen Jarrett. Like, it just, yeah, it goes against what they, I mean, we said this a bunch of times, like, the original pitch was like, this is going to be more sports-like. And I know they, like, veered away from that pretty much immediately, but I don't see how in any way they can just say, like, oh, we're going to have, essentially, within their universe, two complete amateurs fight. Yeah. Why would Tony Khan sanction that?
This is actually a good question, and then we'll get the calls because we've got some people on the line. If you're listening live and you do want to get on the air, 515-605-9345. hit the number one. That's going to let us know that you want to get on the show. I see quite a few callers in the queue, but only one has their hand raised. You raise your hand by hitting the number one. That tells us you want to get on the show. So if you are looking to get on the show, you haven't hit number one, make sure you hit number one. That way we know that you want to get on the air. We'll get the phone calls in literally a couple of minutes here. But one more question, Andrew, for you before we get to those calls. When, because I think it's an interesting one, when did that idea die? Like, when do you think, because we had heard it's going to be a more sports-like presentation. That's why there's numbers and records and statistics and all this other stuff. What was kind of the – was there a moment for you where you were like, all right, that's clearly not what this is? Because I have one. I have a moment where, to me, I was like, well, that's out the window.
I wonder if mine is earlier than yours or it's the exact same one, but it would be when Michael Nakazawa fought that guy and he was basically naked. He was just like in a thong and put like a thong in his mouth. And it was like, I can't even remember who the guy was. It was like I don't know if he was like an esports guy or like a sports owner. I cannot
that's
for life.
That's real early. That's like, but they weren't even on TV yet.
Right. Yeah. It was like their second or third free. It might've been one of the free pay-per-views that they had on.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, I think we like kind of railed against that for a bit and saying how ridiculous that was.
I had forgotten about that. I was going to go with, and it was a little bit, it was about maybe, I don't know, 8 months into Dynamite. I was thinking more TV. I was thinking the Matt Hardy teleporting all around Daly's place there. The first night he came in where he was in the balcony, and then he was in the ring, and then he was, and they could do it because they had no fans in there, and they could shoot it that way. But, yeah, him teleporting all around the arena was it for me. But I forgot about, that's a really good one. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was bad. Because they were, that was like show number three, show number two. I think it was the first. It was the first Fighter Fest, I think, because I think that's it was like a video game convention, and that's what that guy was. He had something to do with that.
Oh, yeah, and that was like the first time, because I was really high on the idea of AEW and everything I'd seen to that point, and that got me worried. Like, oh, man, if this is going to be their humor, and if this is, you know, something they're going to regularly do, like, this is no better than WWE then.
No, we should have let it serve as a warning. But all right, let's get the phone calls. 515-605-9345 if you're listening to us live. If you're not listening to us live and you're sitting there going, geez, you know what? I'd really like to talk to Mike and Andrew. How do I do this? Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern is when we record the show. You can listen on, the link will be up. I usually post the link on my social media at Torch McMahon. I think the Torch has it up there as well. But it's on the PW Torch Blog Talk Radio page every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern is when we record the show live, and that's when you can call us at 515-605-9345. Of course, you can always email us alleliteaftershow@gmail.com. We'll get to emails in a bit. I see DJ from Miami is on the line again. We'll get to him in just a second because we had someone beat him to the punch tonight, and it's the 201 area code. So 201, what is on your mind?
Hello? Can you hear
Hello.
Me?
Yes.
We can.
Hi, my name is Mark.
What's your name where you're calling
from?
I'm
from New Jersey. New Jersey.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Well, I'm kind of shocked that I'm the first caller because just listening to you guys last week.
there you go. You snuck in right at the beginning. You were very quick.
Yeah, that's incredible. I don't know, shortly after 9, I just kind of chimed in. Well, if I may, I just nice to talk to you guys, Mike and Andrew. I just wanted to preface this with I've actually only recently, well, I guess relatively recently, gotten back into watching wrestling from my younger years. I just turned 40 last week, and I used to watch wrestling back up until probably the end of the Attitude Era of WWF, so circa 2001. So, like, my knowledge isn't as in-depth as yours as far as the personnel is concerned. So, I guess the thing that drew me back into wrestling was I watched a Kenny Omega Okada match a couple of years ago, and it was unbelievable. And I know you guys were just talking about in-ring abilities versus storylines, and I think that the thing that drew me in was in-ring stuff. But how do you guys feel about the upcoming Kenny Omega Osprey match?
I mean, it should be insane. I mean, that's one of the ones I think it needs to be a mix of both. Like, Andrew and I know we've talked about this before. Like, really great match. Let me put it this way. You can have, I think, really great matches like Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay don't necessarily need a good storyline. I think a really good storyline could be ruined by bad matches. So, like, both are definitely important. And I think, I don't know, Andrew, if you agree, but to me, like, this Omega-Ospreay match is one that doesn't really need a ton of story behind it, because you know when they get in the ring, they're just going to hit a grand slam.
Yeah, I mean, everything I've seen from them so far, like, on the mic, which hasn't been a ton, like, when they're talking about each other, it's been really good. I think that's been, like, some of their, like, best work, just how, like, how personal it seems between them. So, yeah, I think this match should be a blast. And I don't really rate matches myself, but, like, this is a potential to be, like, a five-star match for sure. And I think it's interesting, too, that you said that you came back to wrestling because of, like, the athleticism. So, cool to hear that. Because, yeah, like, back in 2001, WWE wasn't super great in-ring, and that's kind of when the invasion angle was going on, and storylines were, like, going to hell. So I imagine, like, coming, like, leaving wrestling then and coming back to see, like, Omega Okada must have been, you know, pretty awesome.
Yeah, and this is one, too. I don't know if you guys both agree with me here. Like, this is one where I feel like this match can put Ospreay on the map in the U.S. Not that he wasn't already. Like, to real hardcore wrestling fans who know, who follow this stuff, Will Ospreay's a household name. But definitely more so in Japan. I think this one with Omega on an AEW show, this is what can all of a sudden really propel him forward in the U.S.
I think that'd be great. I didn't really know of Ospreay up until I just recently heard about him maybe a year ago. I've been watching some YouTube clips. But based on what he's done in AEW so far, it sounds like, I mean, he looks incredible. And I think a match with Omega would look sick. You know, so it's something I'm really looking forward to because of just from a wrestling standpoint, like that Okada match was unbelievable. Hour long, I didn't think I could watch a match that long and enjoy it as much as I did.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, because I would feel the same way, generally speaking. Like, if I hear a match is going to go for an hour, it's like, man, am I going to be able to get through this? Because you know there's going to be lulls, but the match you're talking about, I think a lot of people have seen it. I mean, it just, they did an excellent job of drawing you in. It didn't feel like an hour. They got to the end of that match, and you were like, oh, I want to see more of this, not I want to see less, you know? And that's really, really hard to do. There's only a couple that I can think of that I feel that way about, the ones that have gone that long.
I hear you. Yeah, I'm on the same page. And also, a funny story. I know you guys are Orange Cassidy fans, but I actually went to college with him. We both went to
University
of Technology, and we took a couple classes together. I know him better as James. He was in a couple classes with me, but he used to talk about wrestling all the time.
Crazy.
Remember, back in 2001, 2002, when I was in college with him. I'm glad to see him doing well now.
Oh, that's crazy. Was he like training then?
That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really know. I think he was working as a landscaper on the side, but he was in the architectural college. So we had some like math classes and economics classes together. But he was a good guy at the time.
Crazy.
But I was kind of like blown away that he's blown up now. Since back in those days.
Yeah, was it just like years later that you saw him on TV and you're like, oh my god, I know that guy, or how did you find out?
Well, you know, oddly enough, I kind of liked his shtick early on. I mean, I know it's kind of been played out at this point, and I'm kind of in agreement with you guys, but I went on his Wikipedia and he seemed so familiar, and I read that he went to the same college I went to, and I still have his number in my cell phone, oddly enough.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's crazy.
But,
it's funny.
Think,
like, all these guys start somewhere, right?
Yeah. But I guess, that was a follow-up, but I was looking at, it was a couple of weeks ago where Miro appeared to go into Tony Khan's office and talk to him. Like, I liked him as a wrestler. And I didn't know him prior to AEW. But what's going on over there? Like, are we going to hear from him again?
I hope so. either that or the story could be Miro went into Tony's office and just disappeared and he vanished, and we have to figure out where he is.
That's what it seems like at this point.
The funny thing is that's what seemed to happen about a year ago. Like, Miro just disappeared and nobody knew where he went. So that could be the story. He goes into Tony's office and is never heard from again. No, I think there's something there with Miro. I mean, I thought that even before they kind of stopped using him. I know he wasn't really happy with his position and really can't blame him. But I think, you know, he's a guy that can really benefit from the addition of a collision show, and there being more TV time, especially I think there being some more friendly faces around. Like, I think Punk's a Miro fan and Miro and Punk get along. So that may make some sense. If he ends up on Collision, I don't know, he was one of the guys that they had advertised was going to be on Collision. So I kind of expect, Andrew, that maybe we start to hear more from that when Collision begins this weekend.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he doesn't show up on Saturday, and unless something really went wrong. Like, I think he'll be there, Andrade, Thunder Rosa. Though I would kind of love if, like, he didn't show up, and then, like, a year from now, they just show him walking out of an office.
As long as they follow up on it.
Yeah.
That'd be great to see. That's the extent. You guys feel free to take other callers other than me. But thanks for talking.
Yeah, thanks for the call as always. Don't be a stranger and welcome back to wrestling.
Yeah.
I think we all had breaks like that. Like, I know I've talked about it. I took a break at one point. There's just sometimes where you get to the point and you're like, oh, okay, like, enough. I've had enough. But for whatever reason, we all come back, right? And we all end up getting hooked in at some point again.
Yeah, I was always watching, because I think I watched TNA consistently ever since it showed up. But, like, I did definitely take some WWE breaks where I just got so sick of, like, Triple H. I think when they were DX, I couldn't handle it. And, like, that kind of spurred my walking away for a couple of years from them.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely took a break, like, right after the Invasion to about 2006, so, like, four years, 5 years. And I kept up with what was going on.
Yep.
When was YouTube? I don't even think YouTube was a thing yet. Or if it was very small.
2005, like, maybe?
Yeah. So if YouTube was even a thing, they didn't have a YouTube page, but you could go to WWE.com and you could essentially watch the show in, like, 25 minutes.
Oh, interesting.
Like, they would show kind of the finish of every match and highlights of a promo. So I would do that, not every week, but enough that I could keep up with what was going on. And then started to get hooked again. Actually, what started to really hook me again was Edge.
The
very beginning of the Rated R Superstar run.
Oh,
I was like, this guy is interesting. Yeah, like, this guy is interesting. There was still some goofy stuff going on then, don't get me wrong. You had the Spirit Squad were around at that point.
Yeah.
There was definitely some goofiness. But Rated R Superstar, like, I was attracted to that. That grabbed my attention. And then what did it too, and I know they fumbled it in the long run, but they also at that time relaunched ECW. That, again, just it grabbed my attention, that ECW relaunch. And I'll be honest, like, look, the WWE's version of ECW at the end of the day was trash.
Yep.
But that first summer, the summer of 06, when that started up again, some of those shows were pretty compelling, I think. Like, Big Show as ECW champion was not good. But RVD winning the title at One Night Stand that year from Cena, like, if Cena wins, we riot. That was interesting. Like, that was a good way to propel that. And the shows that they had that first summer, I kind of enjoyed. Like, you had CM Punk getting on the scene for the first time. They had another ECW show that they taped at Hammerstein Ballroom at one point where the crowd was like, oh, just booing Big Show. I think it was Big Show and Batista. They were just like booing them out of the building. But, like, even though it wasn't great in-ring stuff, it was compelling television. And I did kind of enjoy it. It was done by, like, September. But, like, the first 2 months of that show were okay. Even though they had stupid things on there, like the zombie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you also had guys coming back we hadn't seen for a while. Like Sandman was on the show. I hadn't seen Sandman in 5 years. And Balls Mahoney was on the show. I hadn't seen Balls in 5 years. And like Sabu was on the show and he was doing some crazy stuff. And so I did like some of what they were doing.
Yeah, they were bringing in, like, they were actually introducing new people, too, like Kevin Thorne, Elijah Burke.
Mike
yeah,
Knox.
Mike, oh, man. With, the,
with Kelly. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of crap, but it was probably the most interested in of their shows at the time for me because I don't know. I just, like, held out hope that they could somehow get better, even after Heyman was infamously kind of let go or quit after, what was it, December to Dismember?
Yes, but, yes, that pay-per-view was terrible.
Oh, yeah, that one sucked. But
I was rooting for him. Like, I was rooting for that show. Like, and, again, like, we talk about, okay, Raw's 3 hours, it's so hard to watch, and more TV for AEW, it's going to be hard to watch. It's just hard to keep track of all this stuff. ECW ran independent of the rest of WWE storylines, for the most part. They would cross over on pay-per-view. But when it first started at the very beginning, it was basically independent of Raw and SmackDown. And it was an hour a week. And it was so easy to watch. It was an hour a week. And you could follow it. You could keep up on it. I thought it was an enjoyable show for the first couple of months. People are going to think I'm crazy for saying that. But I did. I thought it was an enjoyable show for the first couple of months.
And then it got real bad.
And then it got real bad.
And then it turned into NXT. And then...
it did.
Yeah.
Which was weird and then became a development territory. So
yeah, that is
that NXT
weird
season where they were like had them, you know, juggling watermelons or whatever it was to prove they could be a pro wrestler.
That was rough, yeah.
But that gave us the Nexus storyline. That invasion where they beat the crap out of John Cena and tore everything apart.
Oh, my God. That's one of my all-time favorite wrestling moments. And then that was a giant turkey, too, after that.
Like, I know. You know, the angle's bad when the best thing about the angle is the launching point.
Night one, yeah.
Yeah, night one. After that, it's all downhill from there.
Yeah, that would be saying, like, yeah, the highlight of the NWO was just, like, Scott Hall showing up, and then it was all downhill from there. But
it was all downhill after that, yep. All right, let's go to 305. I think 305 is DJ in Miami. If I'm wrong, you can tell me, but I believe this is you, if I have my numbers correct.
From Miami, yep, that's me.
I'm right. See, I wrote it down last week, and I remembered it. So there you go. What's on your mind tonight? How are you?
I guess we can start what you guys are, you guys are talking about Saturday. But I want to know, my main thing is this. I hate the announcers, okay? Tony doesn't do anything. He should just be the guy going in the ring and doing interviews, okay? Taz and JR have a connection. But I hate Sockface. He's annoying. They need to get somebody in there because JR's not there anymore who can bounce off of Taz because Tony's horrible. He says a few words and that's it. Like I don't know what's going on with Tony, but I think if they're going to really push Saturday, they need a great announce team. It's definitely it can't be Taz and JR. Somebody who are starting off and then bring somebody else in. I don't know. But at the end of the day, what do you guys think? I mean, the announce team needs to switch up a little. This is kind of crazy.
Andrew, do you want to hear a hot take that I have about the announcers?
Yeah, give me a hot take.
The best play-by-play announcer that they have under contract is not even on their show. Mm. It's Ian Riccaboni.
I'm down with that hot take.
I think he's the best play-by-play guy on their roster. So I hope – I don't know who it's going to be. I hope it's him. I hope he gets a look on the main TV and gets – not that gets out of Ring of Honor, but – you know, because he's been the voice of Ring of Honor for so long. But I think he's good. Like, I think he's really good. I think he sounds like a guy who would be calling a UFC pay-per-view. Like, he just – he has a legitimate type of presence to him. I think he's really, really good. I think he's the best announcer they have under contract. But that's just me. Yeah. I think Rick Gabani and Taz could be good. I mean I don't mind. I like the idea of kind of a straight play-by-play guy with someone on color who can add a dimension of like, okay, he's been there before. So Taz is a former world champion, works. It's why I think, again, go to the UFC, like John Anik and Daniel Cormier works. Cormier was a former world champion. John Anik's a straight play-by-play guy. But you've got the guy there as the color guy who can give his anecdotes and can give his opinion on what's going on in the ring because he's been there before. I think that that works really well. I agree. I think Tony, it would be really good in a, you know, Gene Okerlund type of role. That's if I think I've said that before, Andrew, but that's where I would have him if it were me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Schiavone do double duty because they either just have him be an announcer or have him do the Okerlund role, and I'd be fine with him doing that. Yeah, I don't think Jim Ross has 2 hours in him like every week to do that. I don't think he just has the excitement level or the energy to do that anymore. I don't want to hear Excalibur 5 hours a week, so leave him off. Taz also drives me crazy because he gives away the finishes in the sense that whenever there's a believable near fall, he'll say he's got him, like, and this is, or like, new champ, it's over, and he's wrong 99 out of 100 times. He, like, as soon as I hear that, I go, oh, like, the match isn't over. That's an aside, but maybe, like, and I know that this has been floated, but, like, Mauro Ranallo, maybe? Somebody like that would be fun to bring in, but realistically, I would probably bring in Riccoboni and then just shut down Ring of Honor, even though those two aren't related.
I mean, the other thing you could do in, I don't think they'll go with this direction full time because they're going to need him on the show as a star, but I thought CM Punk was really good on color when he did it in WWE when he was hurt.
Yeah, he was
good. Could you work out a thing where, like, Punk's on color and he's your top guy? Like, is that a thing you could do? No one's ever tried it before. I don't know that it would work or not. I think it'd be a hard thing to pull off, but I mean, could you do that? They kind of do it now anyway. They've got this, you know, on Dynamite, they've got this rotating cast of like third guys coming in on color, right? Danielson will do it if the BCC's out there, and Jericho will jump on the headset sometimes. Like, could you make it work where, like, all right, Punk's got his angle and he may cut a promo and then he's going to get back at the table and do color for the rest of the show? I don't know. It would be weird. Like I said, no one's ever done it before, and you would have to have someone kind of on standby to be color if Punk is wrestling on the show. So it would be a difficult thing to do, but maybe some sort of rotating cast of color guys could work too.
Well, I guess like
with the Riccoboni as a play-by-play guy. I mean,
oh yeah. Well, I guess like Jericho does Rampage. So I mean, that's fairly close.
True.
But yeah, it would be a lot of Punk. It would probably, I think he should definitely do it when his career is wrapped up. I think that'd be a good next move if he's still interested and gets along with everyone.
Yeah. I agree. What do you think, DJ? Who would you like to see there?
Anybody that Big Show.
I'm on board with that.
Or no Mark Henry. Please, no Mark Henry. Please. I don't know. I mean, personally, they should bring in two new people. Tony has the cash. I'm like, he doesn't have the money, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It's just, they need somebody to pop the show. That's the whole point. They can't just have the same announcers over and over, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Maybe when Michael retires from WWE, he'll go. I don't know. I'm just joking. But, you know, because, you know, he's going to retire soon. But, I don't know. Anybody who really can make it pop, you know, like, I don't know, Daniel, I don't know. You know how, you know, like you guys said, Punk and Danielson's probably one of the better guys on the mic compared to a lot of other people. So what do you guys, at the end of the day, they have to bring somebody who pops. They can't just bring the same people. You know?
Yeah. I just don't know who that is. You know, it's, I don't know. There's choices, but there aren't at the same time. Like with WWE snatching up so much talent, AEW already has some talent under contract, obviously. Like my guess for Saturday is that it will probably be Excalibur and Taz or something like that, just because it's, you know, that's what it is.
If they really want to pop it, they should bring out JR and Taz for at least the first hour. So that would be great. Or at least the second hour. One of those 2 hours, JR should be out there at least a couple times a month, or, you know, like maybe twice a month or something, you know what I'm saying? At least, you know, because he doesn't really, when he does the pay-per-views, he's in and out like 2-3 matches. So maybe he'd be rather sit there compared to papers. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure. We'll see at the end of the day. But
yeah.
My next is this I don't know what's going on. Adam Cole thing, like, when the MJF thing was kind of crazy. Like, he said all these things that everybody wanted to say, and then he was okay with it. He said he's never going to get big. He's never going to get tan. Like, okay, buddy, then you're never going to be a world champion. The only thing you have is a voice. Like, you're okay now. You're the best wrestler, like you used to be when you're in NXT. So it's just like, I don't want this guy as my champion, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, he needs to come back as a heel compared to a babyface, because he's a horrible babyface, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know, even Britt is a better heel than a babyface. So it's just like, at the end of the day, I don't know where we're going to push this guy, because, you know, MJF is still going to fight Punk at the end of the day. So I don't know what the really motive of this is going for.
I like him as a heel better, too. I mean, I understand why they're doing it the way they're doing it right now, but I think this could be one, Andrew, I don't know if you agree, this could be one where maybe we get a quick heel turn when the program's over. They're going to put him in the title picture, MJF's going to win, and then Cole's going to do something to turn. You know, because I just feel like he's a better fit as a heel.
Yeah, I mean, I think it made a lot of sense to make him a babyface when he came back, because I think he, no matter what, like, the crowd was just going to give him, you know, a big pop upon his return, because there was some, you know, doubts whether we'd ever see him again in the ring. I'm not super high on him being like the top baby face, but I'm probably higher than you guys are, but I think he definitely is better as a heel, but I would probably try him out as a face a bit longer. But I don't think I'm not looking forward to him, you know, potentially becoming champion. I'll say,
I'd be very surprised if that happens.
Yeah, I would, but not completely ruling it out, but.
I think that, I don't know. At the end of the day, like, when he was really going full heel, he was a great heel, you know? And I just don't know why they would just go make babyface when everybody knows, you know, he's a better heel and people respect him more compared to, like, him, this scrawny little guy. I mean, I could never see him as a champion, you know?
I mean, I think he can work as a champion at some point, kind of like the way Shawn Michaels worked as a champion 30 years ago. Because, I mean, Shawn Michaels is not a small guy. At the end, you know, really, he's not. He was compared to everybody else that was getting the belt at that point in time. You know, he's smaller than Diesel. He's smaller than Sid. But he's really not a small guy. He's like 6'2", 230. Like, if you put Shawn Michaels in the ring today, he's a big dude. But kind of in that role where he is a little bit smaller than everybody else, but he's athletic. You know, he can certainly have good matches. I think you can make it work under the right circumstances. Him as a heel with some muscle behind him that helps him win matches, kind of the way Michaels did with Diesel in his corner, to me makes a little bit more sense. Than him just as the babyface overcoming the odds time and time again, I think people will get sick of that story pretty quickly.
And when you compare him to Michaels too, I guess the thing like Michaels has going for him is he still looked very impressive physically. Like he was a smaller guy,
true.
but
100%, yeah.
Whereas like Cole, don't mean to knock him too much, but yeah, he doesn't have a Michaels physique to him, and I'm curious how much that matters. Even today. So like, I think people are probably more accepting of like body types in wrestling, but that might hold him back from being a true top guy.
Yeah. But when you see it real quick, when I go to the next question, but when I see him in NXT and see him now, like what the heck happened to you, bro? Like, you know what I'm saying? He had like a swimmer build. Like he had like a more of a build. He had a little more, you know, like at least 5-8 pounds more muscle on him than he has now, you know? So he looked way better. So he needs to get back to, you know, where I'm telling you, people would, you know, really like when, if he gained muscle again, looked like he did in NXT. So people say that over and over. I don't know if you've seen that online.
You know what part of it could be? You know, honestly, what I think part of it could be, it could be his injury. I mean, he was out for a very long period of time recovering from, you know, concussion issues. I know what that can do from a kind of a nausea standpoint. Maybe his diet was different. He wasn't probably training the same. You know, I don't know for sure because it's not something that's always as simple as, oh, he hurt his shoulder, so he couldn't lift. So clearly he's dropped, you know, some muscle. But still, when you're dealing with concussions, having experienced some, you know, myself, I know it can affect your mood. It can affect your appetite. It can affect just your equilibrium. It can affect your whether or not you're fatigued. Like you get headaches, or you get nauseous. Like my guess is detailing the type of stuff that, or going through the type of stuff that he had to go through, he probably wasn't training for a while. That's again, just a guess. That's what I'm assuming probably happened here.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally understand that. But, you know, as funny as that, he get concussed, but then he had that crazy match with Jericho. So, my last thing is,
I know. You got to be careful of it because it's easier to get. Once you get the first one, it's easier to get the second one. You get the second one, it's easier to get the third one. Like it can spiral quickly, obviously, as we've seen. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry though, DJ. I'll let you move on. What's your next point?
I'm just confused with this guy. But I mean, like, I just want to switch out. Like my last thing, real quick, is like I keep on watching this thing with the three people. Like I talked about last week, but now they're like just putting people together. Like now, before, you know, there were groups. Now all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, Ricky Starks is going to go with these guys. Like, what? Like, I don't understand. Like, now Juice is going to go find what? Somebody else? Like, I don't understand. Like, this is – they need to bring back, you know, the regular, you know, tag team compared to triple. It's annoying. It doesn't make any sense. It's like some crazy rules or whatever, but I just don't like how now everybody's like – oh, yeah, come with me. And then, like, instead of, like, them being, like, already together as a, you know, group or something, it's weird. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's the trio's title. They got to start putting people together so they're just, you're a group and you're a group and you're a group. I think they're going to keep doing it. I don't know, Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the problem is, too, like, Tony Khan doesn't have a great idea of chemistry and, like, how people will go together. So, like, remember, oh, God, what was Arya Daivari's group? Oh, the Trust Busters? Like, zero chemistry whatsoever between that entire group. Like, the Matt Hardy's group, like, zero chemistry between any of those guys. Like, the Stokely Hathaway's group, zero chemistry. Like, he's just, like, putting all these people together, but they don't fit. And it doesn't do, like, anything for any of their careers. So I guess, you know, if you're going to put somebody together, you should, like, actually think if, you know, or just have a better idea if they would, you know, play off each other well. Because so far, yeah, a lot of these teams just feel thrown together.
Anything else, DJ?
No, I thought you were going to go. Yeah, real quick, so...
oh, sorry.
The problem is this. At least figure out what they get along. Like, Starks and these guys, I don't know. Wasn't Starks a heel? I don't know what he is. Like, he's a middle. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how do we really know Starks is really going to get along? I mean, yeah, maybe the crowd likes him, but he's still, you know, we don't know if they're really going to get along. It's just really confusing. So I just wish it just go back to the way it was. I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I wonder, too, like, again, as we've talked about a couple times here, the fact that there's more TV coming is this going to be a continuing issue where maybe these are some details that DJ's talking about here, and are some of these details going to start slipping through the cracks more and more because of the fact that there's just more television to write?
Yeah, definitely possible. I mean, I was reading like some rumors that apparently like Bryan Danielson has been really good for challenging Tony Khan and getting them to like think deeper. That's what they're saying. I think maybe Meltzer reported on that. Not entirely sure, but if that's the case, like, awesome. Like, that's what we need to, because if we get a couple more hours a week of sloppy storytelling, like, AEW is gonna, you know, take a dive in quality fast.
Yeah, that's very promising. I like the sounds of that, actually, especially given who the guy is that's giving the suggestion or who's giving the push.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm somewhat optimistic. Well, no, I'm not optimistic on that show. But
why don't you guys go live next Saturday after? That'd be great.
I don't know if I'm, I may actually be out on Saturday. I may have to watch the show on Sunday. We'll have to see. I don't know.
I think Wade is doing it, at least this week.
Who is he? I was going to say somebody might. I'm sure somebody is. I'm sure somebody is. So. He's
going
to do another post show. It's just another night of post shows for Wade. He's going to. We're pretty close to the point where you could do a post show every night between WWE and AEW.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anything else, DJ?
That was it. I guess I'll let somebody else talk about it. Definitely see you guys next week. So
awesome. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thanks for the call, as always. All right. If you're listening live, 515-605-9345. Up next is 240. Area code 240. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. Sorry. This is Mark is from D.C.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. This is my first time calling in to this show. I've called to my Wade show a couple of times, but I never got a chance to talk about AEW at any point, so just want to just speak on a few things.
Nice. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just thought out with the Adam Cole thing. I was hearing about Adam Cole's size and everything. I don't think I've ever seen Adam Cole until he was in NXT, and that was one of the things I noticed about him. Well, it was only when he was champion, because the NXT champion always looked gigantic on him. So I wouldn't really care about his size as far as like as a competitor, but this on time as far as Adam Cole, this on time where I like noticed when he was like when he had a championship on him. But yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Andrew, mm-hmm. too, because, like, I also look at a guy like recently, right? Like, look at a guy like Punk. Like, Punk's not really a physique guy at all, but it still has worked. Like, the Young Bucks mm-hmm. certainly don't have, big intimidating physiques, but people buy them as a tag team. Like, it seems like I don't know that that's really necessary as much as it was. Because, the business is so much smaller now. I mean, most of the guys that are in the heavyweight division going after the world title, in AEW would have been considered cruiserweights 20 years ago. Like, MJF included. Now, MJF, we've seen MJF kind of make a commitment there, and he's added a ton of muscle since he's won the championship and even when he was pursuing it. So it's clearly still important, but I just don't know if it's as important as it was, certainly 30 years ago it was the most important thing. Now it's kind of lower on the list of priorities, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess the only thing is that perhaps to like the casual fan, if you compare, say, WWE and you look at Roman Reigns and then you look at AEW and compare him to Adam Cole, like a lot of people are going to be like, well, one guy looks like a superstar. So I don't know. I think it's much less than it used to be, but I still think there's something to it.
What else is on your mind, Mark?
Well, speaking of Adam Cole and MJF promo from last week, the issue I have with it is usually MJF promos in general, but I feel like out the gate he always starts out at a 10 when, for example, for this promo when they were mentioning, again, like Adam Cole's size and stuff like that, I didn't know there was like internet, complain about Adam Cole or anything. So just listen to it. Listen to it, I understand it, but at the same time, sometimes they mention things like this, and it's like, is this something, this is more like insider stuff that, and I'm not saying I'm like not, I mean, and I feel like I'm pretty privy to things that people say, but I didn't think that was an issue or anything. But I just feel like when it comes to MJ, when he starts feuding with someone, he always starts off with the most, but the most extreme thing. I feel like as far as him and Adam Cole, maybe the first promo could have been more about who's the best fighter or something like that. And then when they finally had that match, I'm pretty sure the match was going to be clean. When they finally have that match, MJ walk out or something like that. And then, use the second promo to say all the things they say in the first promo. I just feel like they sort of start backwards, if that makes sense. You kind of feel the same. I'm not sure if what I'm saying makes sense, but I just wanted to.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with you. I think they didn't. Yeah, I totally agree, Andrew. I don't know if you agree or not here, but I think they kind of didn't give themselves many places to go. Like, it almost did feel like they gave us two promos in one instead of, you know, you could have split that into two. And the delivery, I agree, sometimes he gets a little loud. Sometimes he gets a little, you know, indie wrestling promo, like the guy who's just going to take the mic and scream, where I think you can be a little more effective if you're just a little bit quieter. Like before we started recording tonight, Becky Lynch cut a promo on Raw that I thought it wasn't going to, you know, win any awards, but it was very good. It was very effective, and she didn't yell and scream. Like, it was just a good wrestling promo. And sometimes and it's not just MJF, but sometimes they veer off in that direction where they just try to pack way too much. And part of it, though, too, you know, honestly, could be the fact that they've had so little TV time. It's almost like, hey, we're going to this match. We got to get three promos worth of stuff into this one because we don't have a lot of TV time and there's so much things getting on the show. We may not get a promo next week, so we got to do two today. Like, that could be part of it, too.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the promo segment because I don't like the insider stuff. I just wish, you know, within the storyline, it would just be like, you know, hey, you're here because, like, I'm challenging for the title because I beat these people. And, like, you're the champion because you beat these people. Instead, they're like, oh, yeah, you were going to be a manager in NXT, which you're, like, breaking the reality of what you're doing because, you know, he was a champ in NXT, but you're just saying, like, yeah, you're not good enough, and they were just going to have you play a different character. Like, I don't know. That just seems like, you know, you're trying to get the internet fans to go, ooh, that's personal. But, like, obviously they're still just working. And like, yeah, you know, they're not like actually going to fight. So I don't know.
There's probably several hundred thousand people watching the show that have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, you were going to be a manager. Like, okay. I mean, even if half the crowd knows what that is, like half dozen, like hundreds of thousands of people are like, what does that mean? Like, they didn't read the internet and see what that was all about. So
yeah,
yeah, I wish it would have. They would have left that stuff out.
Like, they could have, like, had the match and, you know, MJF walk out or something in the match or something. And then in a promo, he can say something along the lines of, you know, because it's MJF, he can stay in his way. But I'll send across the ring from you, and I realize this isn't the same Adam Cole. No, he just can claim that he did it out of, I don't know, pity, or he just feel like Adam Cole was working. You know, what's worth it to be in a ring with him or something. I see how he looked and everything, to just try to, like, save face or something. But I feel like they just – I know Wade says it sometimes, but I just feel like sometimes they just don't take the time to actually think things through before they just go out and, you know, I'm not sure, had a promo or just start the segment, techniques and stuff. But I was thinking about – and also I think this kind of touched on what you guys are saying – for me, I've been watching AEW since the beginning. And for me, in a way, AEW, you know, holds a special place because as a wrestling fan, this is technically the first promotion I've watched from its conception, you know. So it's kind of exciting to see how it grows, how, you know, all these different wrestlers I'm seeing for the first time, how they're, you know, evolving and everything. So I feel like, yeah, AEW a lot of slack, but I feel like over the past, I think at least since the beginning of this year, I find myself, you know, while I'm watching the show, I kind of like, you know, zone out, and I had to like rewind because I'm like, I missed something. And that used to not be the case for AEW for me. It used to be the case for Raw a lot of times. I mean, sorry. I'm sorry. It still is the case for Raw, but a lot. But that's the case with AEW now. And I kind of think back with MJF, remember he had that promo when he was like, I'm going to be serious about this. I know it was like earlier this year when he, like, I think ran away from Brian. He kind of ran very funny away from Brian, almost like the Vince McMahon arms throwing him, so he just ran away. And then the next week he was like, he cut this promo that says, I'm going to be very serious, going to feel a different side of MJF, blah, blah, blah. And I think the week after that is when he mentioned that car accident story with the, you know, with his ex-girlfriend and stuff like that, which, you know, listen, I'm like, huh? You know, I've been waiting a whole week for this series of MJF, and this is what you come up with. Like, you're just going to tell a story about getting palatial and car accident and all this stuff, which, again, it's like, it seems like they're aware. They just, I don't know, like they, sometimes they just do things where they don't really follow up as well as I would hope that they would, even with the, even like with the,
yeah,
the four corners. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just was going to say, I agree with you. I think that's been an issue, you know, ongoing for several months, if not a year.
And I will say AEW is very good at correcting themselves when they mess up. I feel like they also do it a lot, which is, which is good. Like, I appreciate that they do know how to, you know, come back the next week and fix things, but I feel like they also do it a lot. And I guess with that, I do have a question. Do you think some of the problems that AEW is having is more so because they're a new company, so it's more or less growing pains? Because, again, like I said, this is pretty much the first promotion I've seen since conception. And, I mean, I don't know. I think TNA started watching probably 4 years in or something. But I guess with you guys, the rest of the promotion you watched, you know, throughout your life, from that point of view, do you think a lot of these problems with AEW is just more like growing pains, trying to find their footing?
That's an interesting question, actually. I mean, yeah, in a sense, probably, because I don't think anyone's ever had the type of exposure they've had this early in the game, meaning like they were on TNT their first year.
Yeah.
TNA was doing weekly pay-per-views at that point. So no one really had the type of exposure that they had at such an early spot in their development as a company. And it's also, too, I think one of the big things is – it's not only an inexperienced company, overall, because it's they're going through these growing pains, but get an inexperienced guy booking the show who's never done it before. Like, he's never worked for another wrestling promotion. He's never done it. He's been a fan, but he's never booked a show before. So I don't know if it's worth seeing company growing pains, because even backstage, they do have a lot of experienced agents and stuff like that. Right, Andrew? But I definitely think it's the growing pains of an inexperienced booker who has, for whatever reason, not asked for a lot of help. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing the development of an inexperienced booker, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think on one hand, like, they're insanely successful because they're the only company that has taken any sort of market share from WWE in 20-some years. But on the other hand, they're, like, kind of a disappointment in a way, because I think people were expecting they would have done like 2 million viewers by now. Like, you know, things started off so well for them and they were selling out every single show. And then it's like, man, what if CM Punk joined? Man, what if like Bryan Danielson joined? Like, hundreds of thousands of people you would think potentially would have like joined them. But instead, you know, besides like some little, you know, boost with Punk, like it's been the same or, you know, hasn't really gone up at all. So yeah. I think it's just Tony just like has his own idea of what he wants, and he just seems to have settled into it, and he seems happy, like doing what he wants to do without like concern about that extra potential million.
Do you feel that some of these things, as far as Tony Khan goes, even with his major announcements and stuff? Okay, one question with that. At this point, is this kind of like tongue in cheek from Tony? Because I feel like a lot of times, well, at least recently, it's starting to come up as parody when he does a major announcement. And do you, and not just major announcements, but like with this, like some of the decisions he's making as a promoter, do you think, for example, like for me, I feel like the whole story with MJF, you know, y'all talk about the bidding war 24 and how he came back and won a championship and all these things, and then and supposedly his contract is that he doesn't have to work as many dates and so wrestling as much. Things like that, like the major announcement things. Do these things make Tony come up as a bad businessman / promoter? And I don't mean this as in like as far as him making money, but as far as like the on-screen kind of discipline. Because I think, I guess I kind of compare it to Vince McMahon. Some things I look at them like this. These things would happen under this McMahon company kind of thing, or it wouldn't be happening as much. But as far as like being a promoter / businessman, but not necessarily like financials with AEW, how good they do as a business, but like as far as like I guess how it's being run.
Yeah, it's interesting, Andrew, I think, because I think
and also I'm sorry. And as far as
it doesn't take criticism but, well, you know, like just I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I kind of forgot
your
company, but go ahead.
Okay, no, it's not. I was going to say, I think the real person, I think the actual businessman, Tony Khan, does not like to show vulnerability at all, doesn't like to be wrong, doesn't like to show weakness, doesn't like when things go wrong. He'll explain that, oh, that thing that went wrong, no, it actually went right, and here's why. But, yeah, Tony, as kind of the character head of the company, has shown a vulnerability is within that character. And I think it's probably because he's a babyface owner. And I'm not sure it comes across that you're a babyface owner if you're like this ruling with an iron fist and you always get your way type of guy. You almost have to show some vulnerability in order to be a babyface. And he comes across as a babyface owner on TV. That's how they portray him. I do think it's funny with all these announcements. I mean, it's almost become like the weekly Tony Khan announcement. You can't go a show without Tony making an announcement nowadays. But it is different than how I think he is, you know, in behind the scenes in real life. I don't know if that makes sense, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of interesting because the only time he would, like, essentially show aggression is just, like, through the headsets. Like, we never see him saying, like, hey, like, Jericho, you can't do that. You're going to fight so-and-so next week. We just, like, get those announcements, like, through Shivani, like, oh, like, this is coming in from Tony now. Jericho has to fight so-and-so next week. So we never see that side of him. So, yeah, we only see this really happy-go-lucky dude who's, like, the cheerleader of the promotion. But, yeah, I'm with you. He should probably go 6 months without, like, having another big announcement unless it is, like, something enormous because there probably is going to be diminishing returns.
Do you think AEW – I mean, again, AEW's news, do you think they are at a set up where they can pretty much sustain a champion that doesn't compete a lot? Because it's different with WWE, it's different because, I mean, WWE has been around for decades. So the brand is part of, like with Roman, he doesn't wrestle as much. But I mean, the brand is behind him, but also Roman's been on TV for years now. But I feel like AEW, they would benefit. They had more of a fighting champion because, I mean, again, I think about wavelengths, like how you get the next million viewers. I mean, if people are going to watch them, what are they coming to watch for? Your champion isn't wrestling much or he isn't on TV much then. What's going to get people to stick? Because, I mean, the only fighting champ they really have is Orange Cassidy right now. So.
Yeah, he seems to be the only guy doing it, the only guy that's wrestling with regularity that has a belt. And you would think there'd be more of it because there's so many people with the belts in the show. Like, half the roster has a championship, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're kind of going, like, overboard in the other way, since, like, MJF only wrestles, six times a year. They're having Orange Cassidy wrestle 55 times a year.
I don't know what the options are. No. Anything else on your mind, Mark?
Oh, I hate the wrestling trope. Well, I'm not sure if it's a trope, but with the thing about Ricky Starks and what's his name? The Switchblade and what's the other guy with Switchblade?
Juice Robinson.
Yeah, Juice. Okay. I hate the trope of, or like I said, when someone just can like Ricky, say, Ricky, he lost the match to MJF. He's kind of building his way back up and everything. I hate that you can be on your path to, you know, challenging for a champion, and then some random wrestler just can pop up and beat you up and stuff. Then all of a sudden you're detoured and have to fight them. Because my thing is, I kind of know who Jay White is. I mean, I did watch New Japan and stuff. Juice, not so much, but I do know who he is, but at the same time, it's like this guy's new. Ricky has been here for a while. I know he's been winning matches and stuff. Like, why does Ricky have to kind of stop and detour? I guess that's a I mean, as a competitor, as a, maybe as a man, you can't just let someone beat you up and, like, get away with it. But at the same time, like, why does that detour you from going back to win the championship and everything? And it's not like this has been really a good feud so far, but just things like that that I don't, for me, I don't like with wrestling. Or, I mean, sometimes it works, but for this situation, again, like, Switchblade, I guess it wasn't Switchblade, it was Juice Robinson came first, but, or vice versa, but either way, like, how can this new person show up, attack you, and then you get off track of what your mission was? It's kind of like Cody, but worse.
Yeah, they do that a lot, Andrew. I don't know. They do kind of start and stop with guys a lot. And I think, look, if you're putting on a guy towards the path of a belt, if you're not willing to put that guy over someone that you're putting in front of him, don't put him with that guy. I've always thought this. They're champions. A lot of champions lose non-title matches. And it's like, if you're not willing to have that guy go over, don't do the match.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to keep, like, Ricky Starks hot, I'm guessing, and then, you know, maybe 6 months down the line, he can fight MJF again in another big match. But, yeah, the Cody one is a good comparison because they at least, like, found interesting things for Cody to do after his big loss. Like, he got two big matches out of Brock Lesnar. He's fighting Dominic next, which should be fun. But Ricky Starks, yeah, they put him up against Juice Robinson, who is not over in the company at all. And then they put him up against Switchblade, who could be a major star and, like, but should be on his own path, like getting wins on his own. So it was just like a bad feud, and the two don't have chemistry. So, I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know, but, like, you should have just put Starks in a program with Jeff Jarrett, somebody better, but, like, somebody he can just, like, wrestle and beat, and then he moves on to the next guy and beats them, and then he makes his way back to MJF in a few months.
I thought someone who isn't familiar with Juice all that much, like, hear him doing that scream and stuff when he's, like, yelling at people, that was very, which I'm like, what are you doing? kind of thing, but.
I'm not a fan of his act.
But, yeah, that's all I have. But I just want to say, like, that. I mean, I think I said a lot of negative things, but I am a fan of AEW. And, I mean, when AEW started, I was excited for it because I knew who Kenny Omega was. I knew who Young Bucks was. So basically, I've been watching New Japan for maybe 10 years. So I'll say the only people in AEW I don't know are people that probably have been in, who haven't been in WWE, who haven't been in New Japan. And if they've been in maybe TNA since Bobby Lashley left, maybe I don't know who they are. But a lot of these people I've watched, you know, I'll be excited because I'm thinking I'm going to see Kenny Omega, you know, have some excellent matches stateside, you know, have storylines, because I think New Japan, I don't think I ever really saw storylines. I mean, other than, like, kind of like in-ring stuff. I mean, they could tell stories in the ring, but I never saw, like, no kind of backstage storylines other than, like, a press conference where they will fight randomly and stuff like that. But I was excited for things like that with AEW, like, see all these people grow. Or just, you know, advance and have good storylines, but I feel like that never really that hasn't really happened in AEW. I mean, I feel like, I guess it's starting to now, but, or at least when it did, it didn't last long. I know Kenny had his championship reign, but honestly, I don't really remember how good it was or anything, but that's all I was going to say. Thanks, guys, for taking the call.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, it is interesting, Andrew, because I didn't really thought of it the way that Mark put it out there, but he's right. I mean, we haven't, at least maybe with the exception being TNA, but I didn't watch TNA right from the very beginning. I know you did. But I don't remember a lot of watching, like, a company straight from the very beginning like this. You know, I was in early on TNA, but not right at the very beginning. This is the first time I've watched a company from its infancy as well.
I guess I was there for TNA, but then, like, every month you would read, like, that they were probably going to go out of business, so it was, like, a completely different, like, viewing experience. So it's been, and they never obviously, like, reached the heights of AEW, but yeah, it's, I guess, probably only the second time I've been able to follow it, besides ones that, or, I mean, I guess unless you count, like, Billy Corgan's NWA, Control Your Narrative,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
But those didn't turn out so hot.
Yeah. Ones that had actual television deals anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, we got some more to get to. We were actually very deep into the show. So let's kind of fly through emails quickly. Mike and Andrew, this is from Joe in Chicago. This is a long-time listener, first-time emailer. Notice you guys don't get too many AEW-themed $5 challenges, so I thought I'd send one in.
Love it.
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a second. Zach in Texas, he says, again, I'm going to skip through these because we are very deep into the show already with callers. Zach says, spirited discussion about whether in-ring work or storylines are more important in wrestling. I'm glad the asinine opinion of he who shall not be named was immediately and summarily dismissed. That said, y'all both lean towards storylines being more important. I respect your point, but I think in-ring quality is being slightly undervalued. Storylines are important, obviously, but it's 2023. Fans today expect a good storyline to culminate in a very good match. People are not simply as easily satisfied as they were back in the Attitude Era. They're more discerning. It's why someone like Dominic Mysterio is ultimately not viable. For whatever heat he generates, he can't have a good match. He basically is just there to lose, and that's not sustainable. The storyline can be ho-hum, but if the match is really good, fans will be forgiving. It doesn't work the other way around. Yeah, I mean, again, like I said earlier, I think a good storyline could be spoiled by a bad match. But I don't think a bad match could be spoiled. Well, I shouldn't say a bad match, a good match can't be spoiled by a bad storyline. I think it can. You'll still really like the match, but I think you could sit there at the end of the match going like, wow, this could have been so much better if they built it better. Ultimately speaking, I don't think, my personal opinion, Andrew, and I might be wrong, I don't think the majority of wrestling fans watch shows just to watch the athletic contest. I do not believe that that's the case. If that were the case, there'd be a lot more Brazilian jiu-jitsu fans out there. I think people watch wrestling to get into the characters and to get hooked emotionally into what they're seeing and what's going on TV. So to do that, you need to have good matches. I think you can lose fans if all your matches suck. Like, you need good matches. But what grabs people and what retains them, in my opinion, over the long term, the majority of people, is going to be strong characters and therefore strong stories involving those characters. If you don't have that and you just have a bunch of really good athletes, you're going to really appeal to a smaller segment of the audience. But if you want to be big time, you got to do something different, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, I feel like WWE's in-ring product is pretty much the same as it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. Like, it's pretty good. It's much better than it used to be, but it's not amazing. But it's been pretty consistent. Like, I don't think right now people are saying, like, it's amazing in-ring product. You've got to watch it. But the ratings have gone up this past year, and that is because of the Bloodline storyline, I think. Whereas, 100%. Like, yeah, so it's that story that's, like, bringing in people, whereas, like, if it was more about the in-ring action, like, the ratings would have gone up over the past, like, decade when the in-ring product got better.
I'll say this, too. Like, if Roman Reigns was garbage, it wouldn't matter. Like, you know, Zach's correct. Like, if Roman Reigns – it goes just to show that Roman Reigns really isn't that bad. I mean, look, he's not Will Ospreay. He can't do the things that Will Ospreay can do. But Roman Reigns can have a really compelling match.
Yeah. I agree. The in-ring matters. Like, it does. It brings in, like, a healthy portion of the fans. But I think for the majority, it's still storylines by quite a bit.
I mean, I guess I'd put it like this, right? If in-ring – it's a mix. If in-ring match quality is all that mattered and big moves and all this other stuff and athleticism was all that matters, then Ring of Honor would be huge and 205 Live would be WWE's top program. And, you know what I mean? All this stuff. If storylines were all that mattered, then 2007 – and, like, you know, goofy storylines, then 2007 TNA would have been the hottest thing ever in the history of pro wrestling. It's not. It's both. You need a mix of both. You do. And that's where I think, you know, honestly, if you could take the in-ring action from AEW and the main event storytelling from WWE, because, look, they're mid-card. There's a lot of crap in there. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's all great. There's a lot of crap in there. But generally speaking, WWE's main event storylines are pretty damn good. So if you took the main event storytelling from WWE and combine it with the in-ring athleticism of AEW, I think you have a perfect wrestling product. I would argue right now that neither side is doing that.
Right.
Neither side has that perfect mix right now.
No. And just like, yeah, like briefly, I think AEW's in-ring product, to me, it's way better than WWE's. And I think WWE is pretty good overall, but I like AEW's way more. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, but yeah, the ratings are, it's half of what SmackDown does. Maybe less than half, actually.
Chad in Nebraska, really quick. He's got a $5 challenge. We'll get to that in a minute, too. So to Zach. Biggest news out of the Impact pay-per-view this weekend, Chad says, was Alex Shelley winning the Impact title for the first time, which in his own right should make Andrew order the replay.
I did.
I was waiting for Steve Macklin. There you go. Well, I was waiting for Steve Macklin to win the title. I can't get upset with Alex Shelley, as he is someone someone who I think could have been Impact's version of Chris Jericho, minus the complete jackass as Jericho seems to be. So we will have Nick Aldis and Alex Shelley for the world title at Slammiversary, which should be good. So that since Shelley and Aldis are both faces, we see an Aldis turn with a return of the referee Rob Terry. As we all know, Rob Terry equals pay-per-view buys.
Agreed.
Skimming through this here quickly again. Sorry for the emails that we're skimming through, but callers, we ate up most of the show here. Chris Sabin won the X title for the ninth time with another very good match against Trey Miguel, which you guys need to see, as there's some very good chain wrestling in that match. I really hope Impact signs Zach Wentz again, and that version of the Rascals can become a tag team, as I think Ace Austin and Chris Bay versus Wentz and Miguel could be really fun. And then the Masha Killer Kelly dog collar match was also a really fun brawl. I will be an Impact sales rep for a minute, Chad says. Under Siege, everyone needs to check out the show. It's free if you have Impact Plus. Or the YouTube subscription, or you can get it on Fight for only $9.99. Also, Darby and Danhausen need to be fired. got to throw that one in there.
Under Siege was fun. Yeah, I watched it because I heard – I meant to order it on Friday because I watched the Alex Shelley interview, and I thought it was great. And for some reason, it slipped my mind. I kicked myself because I read what happened, and then I ordered it on Saturday. So had to be there. Had to be there for his moment.
Jose from Golden Valley, first things first, shame on you both for your piss-poor performance last week. You two exposed yourselves as nothing but wannabe Rob Terry fans. Big Rob doesn't even deserve this disrespect.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not the first time that Andrew exposed himself as a liar. Oh, wow. Supposed horror fan who didn't know who Alex Vincent was. That's like a diehard wrestling fan not knowing who MJF-jacked-slash-metal host Chris Leary was.
Oh, man.
I saw him.
Oh yeah, Alex Vincent from Child's Play. I already forgot.
There you go.
I've seen
Jose
it.
Jose says that he's looked up a Twitter feed of post about MJF versus Dr. Evil's enemy Big Match John promo battle would look like. You can see it now. MJF says something like Nikki says something about the bald spot and how you make my wish, John, and demands a match. Cena would then proceed to cook him like a filet mignon and be like the final rap scene in 8 Mile. Mick Foley's podcast is amazing. Listen, with Foley talking about his enormous Rolodex of celebrity connections and inside the pop culture-obsessed mind of Vince Russo. Of course, Russo tried to get Mike Myers to be in Dude Love's Corner in 1998 against Russo. Russo totally up on the culture of the day, but there's just no way they were getting him in 1998. I bet they could have gotten him in the summer of 99 when he was promoting The Spy Who Shagged Me. I like when Ben Stiller did an angle to promote Mystery Men. They were hot enough to justify the appearance. I have not listened to any of Mick Foley's podcasts, Andrew, have you?
No, and yeah, I think it's because I like Foley, but he's kind of the Jericho humble Braggy. He's more of humble Braggy, and Jericho's just straight up Braggy.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I get annoyed by that stuff easily. I'm sure maybe it's good, and I'll check it out sometime, but I don't know. Some of his books just like, I had my fill.
Jose continues, I've been reading the old observers from 2015, and it's interesting to see what wrestling sphere was at the time. Pro wrestling as a whole felt like a slump. It was in a slump that year. WWE had some good moments, but Raw was nosediving in the ratings in the 20-minute opening promos. And the negativity to the Roman Reigns experiment overshadowed the company. TNA was a total clown show. And Charlie Brown head Corgan. Charlie Brown, I guess I can see that. Was being suckered into burning his money because the Panda people wouldn't pay for talent for months. ROH was an insane roster, but was over-dependent on New Japan to hide their own flaws. Boxing had the big Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and UFC was baiting in the millions of dollars in pay-per-view buys that Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey were giving them at their peak. Lastly, Mike, please don't read ahead. I promise there's no profanity. You ruin the punchline with your confusion at what I write. There's a reason why Ryan Seacrest takes his sweet time to tell viewers who is America's next idol instead of blurting it out and acting confused. Well, we're late tonight. I'm going fast because we're running out of time. And also, he has a message for you here, Andrew. Andrew, Jose says he saw your past videos, and did the Adams or Simon ever tell you that you looked like Mark Andrews? It feels like you were trying to appeal to their demo with the Mandrews hair and beard.
Oh, yeah, that was a try. I feel sorry for you watching those videos. I sucked.
I thought you were going to be like, oh, yeah, that's when I had my Mandrews look going on.
No, I remember I had really long.
I was like, wow, you really were going. I thought you were going to be like, oh, yeah. I was like, wow, you really were going for the Mark Andrews look, huh? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that before.
I was just like, I had really long hair. And then I think, and at the time I cared, because people in the comment section probably made a comment or something. And I was like, oh, I should get a haircut. So I did for the next one. I think it was probably like the CM Punk haircut too at the time, because I probably showed my barber, like, that's what I tend to do. I just show like photos from people. And maybe I showed him like a punk photo or something, like, give me this. But it was not Mark Andrews,
I'm just jealous that you can still go get a haircut and say, I want to look like this. I just showed him Bill Goldberg.
Stone
Cold Steve Austin, Bill Goldberg. Maybe look like this.
It's probably embarrassing, but I show them a Finn Balor photo of like short on the sides and kind of like.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, Finn Balor is my go-to haircut these days.
I got nothing.
Sorry.
Bad genes, I guess. Okay, Andrew, really quick. Do you know what time it is right now?
Heck.
Not the actual time on the clock, but.
Oh, yeah. Heck yes, I do.
$5 challenge.
At some point, I'm going to time that right.
I'm always like, oh, am I supposed to say something else?
Yeah, it like when I hit play, it takes like half a second for it to start playing. So, and sometimes it takes a second, sometimes it takes 3 seconds. So it's any time between 1 and 3 seconds. So it's never like the same. You know what I mean?
Well, feel free to cut me off because that's better than anything I got to say.
I'll remember that. I'll write that down. Okay, Joe from Chicago. We only sent out a $5 challenge. In honor of this week's Dynamite returning to the site of their first episode, this challenge is all about Dynamite's debut, which took place in Washington, D.C. on October 2nd, 2019. Are we ready for this one?
I think so.
What famous comedy duo is shown in the live crowd during the opening moments of the show?
Jay and Silent Bob?
Jay and Silent Bob. I am in 100% agreement. They were promoting Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, I believe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was the movie that was coming out at that point. I am a fan of Kevin Smith films. So 2019 would have been the Reboot movie, I'm pretty sure. But I know they were there. I think they were there actually, too. I think Jericho had something to do with that because Jericho has done some of Kevin Smith's like comedy horror movies.
Oh, didn't know that.
I think he was actually in that Jay and Silent Bob movie, too, Jericho was. Played a Ku Klux Klan member.
Oh, wow.
Given what we know now, it's kind of funny. I think it was Jericho whose wife may or may not have marched in an insurrection, right?
I believe you are right, yes.
So,
casual overthrow.
Kind of funny how that worked out. And if I had a little boom, boom, ching sound effect, we could do that now, but. Okay. Number two, out of the 14 people who officially wrestled in matches on this episode, how many are no longer signed with AEW?
Cody is one. I'm going to guess like maybe Jimmy Jacobs was on the show. Maybe he was on some of those early ones.
Yeah.
It's a guess, but.
Does he want a number here? I think he just wants a number maybe.
Yeah. I was just like trying to think in my head who's no longer Marco Stunt's no longer around. If he was maybe on that first show,
I'm trying to think who would have wrestled on. The only one that I think maybe would have really wrestled on that show was, I mean, Cody definitely did.
Yeah, him and Sammy, I think, kick things off. Or him and Darby? One of those two. Sammy, I think.
Yeah. But it's got to be more than one. I mean, what, three maybe? Two or three?
I would guess it's pretty low. Yeah, I was looking over the – oh, I bet like – oh, no, Scorpio Sky's still there. Oh, Kazarian. He was in SCU. Yeah, he might have been like one of them. So three?
Two. Let's go two.
Two? Let's do two.
Three. Two. Let's go two.
Two and a half.
Go two. Two and a half, yeah. I was just going to make a joke, but it'd be mean. Number three.
I think I know what you're saying.
number three. In the past, WWE has been referred to as the land of the giants. AEW, though, not so much. Now making his way to the ring at a towering 6 foot 2 inches, who was the tallest person to officially wrestle in a match on the first episode of Dynamite?
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting question. What is Cody 6'2"?
I was gonna say Omega, but maybe although Cody would be my other guess. Omega is?
Or Cody? I think Cody's taller than Kenny.
I think you're right.
What about Ding on that show?
Oh. Maybe. No, he didn't show up there yet. Yeah.
He wasn't there yet. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, he wasn't there yet. I don't know. I feel like it's Cody.
Let's go Cody.
Cody's not very big, but again, that's kind of the point of the question.
Yeah.
Number four, the shortest wrestler on the show won the first championship match in Dynamite history. Who did that wrestler defeat to take home the gold?
Also, this just came into my mind. Did they? So Jake Hager showed up on that episode, and he was like,
yeah, he's big. He's like 6'6".
Oh,
but did he wrestle?
Oh, he did not wrestle. Okay, sorry. So I was like, picturing him. Okay. I'm sorry. What was the last question?
So the shortest wrestler on the show won the first championship match in Dynamite history. Who did that wrestler defeat to take home the gold?
The shortest wrestler?
I don't know if this is correct, but the only championship match I can think of that was on the very first show wasn't that the conclusion of like the women's title? Did they do a tournament for that?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, because TNT title wasn't there yet.
So that, I think, was Riho, right?
Riho, yeah.
And so, but he's asking here, who did that wrestler defeat? So what was the I think they did a women's title tournament, and the finals were on that episode of Dynamite. And Riho was tiny, so it would make sense if he's saying the shortest wrestler on the show won the first championship match in Dynamite history. Who did that wrestler defeat to take home the gold?
My guess is Nyla Rose, because they've had a rivalry, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, that's I think it was her, especially early on. She was heavily pushed early on, so that doesn't. I think that makes sense. Okay. Okay, number five, what wrestler's earth-shattering surprise debut took place in the final moments of this broadcast, changing the AEW landscape forever?
Oh, the All-American-American, Jake Hager.
The All-American-American-American. That extra one never made sense to me.
Was there an extra one?
Didn't he used to say, I think he used to say the All-American, American, American, I think.
Oh, interesting. I don't remember.
I think that's what he would say.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I think that's what, and I would always laugh at it. Or maybe he just did it once and I heard that clip over and over.
I don't doubt it.
All right. Let's see. How did we do? Number one, famous comedy duo was Jay and Silent Bob, so we got that one correct.
Yes.
Out of the 14 wrestlers on the show, which is the only one, excuse me, I gave that away, because I'm looking at the answers now. How many are no longer with the company? Just one.
Damn it. That was the original thought.
Cody Rhodes. Number three, tallest person to wrestle in a match on the episode. We had Cody Rhodes. The correct answer was Brandon Cutler.
Oh, would not have guessed. At all. I didn't know he wrestled on that show.
Joe has him written here as Brandon the Beanstalk Cutler. Yeah. shortest wrestler on the show, won a championship match. Who did that wrestler defeat? It was Riho over Nyla Rose. So that one is correct. And then Jake Hager is also correct. So three out of five on Joe's question.
Oh, That's fun. I like. Yeah, we don't get AEW questions, but happy to do more.
I like that one. That was a good one. All right, Zach in Texas. WCW was known for its wild stipulations, everything from delightfully zany to the mind-numbingly stupid. I'm going to give 5 matches, and you have to tell me what the crazy stipulation was. Note, a description will count if you can't remember the exact name. Good luck.
Love it.
Here we go. Number 1, Billy Kidman versus Shane Douglas.
Viagra on a pole.
I was going to say, I think that's the Viagra on a pole. The infamous Viagra on a pole match. Number 2, Sting, the Steiners, and El Gigante against Big Van Vader, Cactus Jack, Abdul the Butcher, and the Diamond Stud.
Doomsday Chamber of Horror?
I couldn't remember the match, but the name. But, yeah, that's the one where they did, like, somebody was going to get electrocuted, right?
Yeah, that's where Abdullah got electrocuted. That's a guess on the name. Like, it sounds right in my head, but it could definitely be wrong.
What was it again, sorry? Doomsday?
Chamber of Horrors? But maybe that seems redundant, and I'm thinking of the 3-tier cage. Anyways, yeah, we can go with that.
But, no, it's the one where he gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
So I think the description may work. Number 3, Fit Finlay versus Jerry Flynn versus Ciclope?
Ciclope.
Ciclope? Versus Rocco Rock versus Johnny Grunge versus Hardcore Hack versus Brian Knobs versus Horace Hogan versus Hugh Morris versus Lord Steven Regal versus Silver King versus Mikey Whipwreck versus Dave Taylor.
Do you remember that one?
No.
That was, and a lot of people got hurt in this match, and like a junkyard brawl. They like fought around, they fought like around a bunch of cars, and like multiple people got seriously injured in the match.
All right.
I think a junkyard brawl, or like whatever. Brawl. Where do you store? Where do you store? Is that where you store cars? Broken down cars.
Junkyard. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Number 4: Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage versus Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, The Barbarian, Ming, Lex Luger, Kevin Sullivan, The Ultimate Solution, and Z Gangsta.
Do you remember this one?
No.
It was three. This is the other one I was thinking of. It's 3-tiered cage, and Hogan and Savage had to like fight their way through it. So it was 2 men on 8, and they had to like get to the bottom ring, and then, you know, then they could like do a pinfall. But yeah, that's what I was thinking of, a Doomsday something. So I was thinking
okay.
Mixed up, but I described it. It's 3-tiered cage.
Okay. I got it. I like
the Doomsday cage match.
Doomsday cage match. Okay. And then number 5, Booker T versus Jeff Jarrett.
I would. Oh, that was a stupid one. it was like.
I mean, given the names involved, I'm thinking this is like end of WCW. So
yeah.
it would make sense that it would be stupid.
I think it was something like. Oh, I'm gonna get that it's wrong because there were so many stupid, crappy gimmicks that are getting mixed up in my head. But it was something like there was 4 boxes or something, and. One of them had the WCW title in it, and whenever, like, Booker opened it and, like, got the title out, it, like, fell to the floor, I think. But, I don't know, mystery box match? I feel there was, like, a
mystery
pinata involved
match.
At some point, but I don't know.
Mystery box match. Quick note about mystery boxes for a minute.
Yeah.
Funny story, you can look it up on YouTube. I don't know why. To this day, I'll still look this up like once a year and just giggle at it. When my now 13-year-old son, when he was like 3, had an iPad and found this clip on YouTube. It's like a very old Sesame Street clip with Kermit the Frog and Cookie Monster.
Uh-huh.
And I laughed. When he had it on like in the car one day, and I died laughing watching it, and then I will still look it up like once a year and just giggle at it because I think, I don't know why I think it's so funny, but it's Kermit the Frog has a mystery box, and and he wants the Cookie Monster to guess what's in the box, and he gives him 3 guesses, and he keeps on guessing a cookie, and Kermit the Frog keeps on getting increasingly frustrated because he keeps saying that it's not a cookie. It's very stupid. I think I was at like a barbecue when I first saw it, when like my son had it on, like we may have had a lot to drink, which is why I thought it was so funny at the time.
Yeah.
But I still will look it up every once in a while, and I'm like, look at that, man. That just makes me giggle.
Oh, I'm writing that down. I'm
a big fan of Yeah, I'm a big fan of mystery boxes.
I mean, I'm going to just a quick hot take, but I'm going to say the best Muppet is Cookie Monster. And he's a Muppet because he was in one of the Muppet films. So
100%. And I would be in total agreement. I'm a big Cookie Monster guy for
sure.
Ever since I was little.
He was
my favorite when I was a kid. I mean, how can you not like the Cookie Monster? Come on. I was a little upset when they were like, he wasn't the Cookie Monster for a very short period of time. Remember, they were like, no, he's just the blue guy monster and he eats vegetables now. It's like, no, he doesn't.
Stupid.
I get it. We want to make sure kids aren't, you know, gluttoning on cookies. But like, come on, he's the Cookie Monster.
That's
what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even be fine. Have the Cookie Monster do a big thing about, you know, you can't eat too much sugar or you might get diabetes. Like, you can have the Cookie Monster teach you some lessons. That's fine. You don't want to indulge, you know, you just, it's a nice treat, but I can't have them all the time. Like, but I mean, come on. The Cookie Monster just going to eat veggies now? I don't buy it.
I don't like that at all. No, that's silly. Not buying it.
Have him eat his veggies so that he can get more cookies. I mean, that's realistic. Every parent in the world's arguing with their kid going, eat your vegetables, you're going to have a cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, but like that, yeah, that's not what we came here for. We came here to see him eat cookies.
You know, but I wouldn't mind. Teach the kids a lesson. Say, look, Cookie Monster is going to get his cookies. He just has to eat his veggies first. He eat the veggies, now he gets the cookies. Now every kid's going to be like, well, geez, I'll get a cookie if I just eat this broccoli, you know?
Right.
The little kids, they're not, it doesn't take a lot. Okay, sorry. Back on track. Billy Kim and Shane Douglas, stipulation, we have the Viagra on a pole match. Andrew, we are correct, or you are correct, because you guessed all these ones. You are correct in that one, Viagra on a pole. Number two, Sting, the Steiners, and El Gigante versus Big Van Vader, Cactus Jack, and Duel the Butcher, and the Diamond Stud. The Doomsday Chamber of Horror match. The correct answer was the Chamber of Horrors match, a tag team cage match where the goal was to put the opposing wrestler in an electric chair and electrocute them. So, yes, I'm going to give you credit on that one as well because you pretty
much. Okay, so I think Doomsday comes in later. Okay, I could be wrong. Okay.
It does, yeah. I think it does because I'm looking at the answers. But also, Zach said with the description would be fine. So I think you get credit on that. Number three, Fit Finlay, Jerry Flynn. I'm not even going to go all these names. The big, long list of names, guys doing a hardcore match. The Junkyard Invitational was the name of the match. You are absolutely correct. That's another one that we're going to get a check on. A hardcore match took place in an actual junkyard. Number four, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage versus Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Bavarian Meng, Lex Luger, Kevin Sullivan, The Ultimate Solution, NC Gangsta. The name of that, or the stipulation there, was the Doomsday Cage Match.
Yes.
A three-tiered cage match that began in the cage, on the stage, and ended in the ring. That's another check mark. And then, you know what, Andrew? You're getting credit for this one, too. The Booker T versus Jeff Jarrett, you had the stipulation. We didn't know what it was called, but the mystery box match. And you did describe it well here. The name of the match was the San Francisco 49ers match.
Oh, yeah.
However, the description that Zach gives us here is a box was placed on each pole around the corner with the goal being to locate the WCW world title belt. The belt was in one box. The other three contained a blow-up doll, a framed photo of Scott Hall, and a coal miner's glove. So that you pretty much described that.
Yes, I'll take it.
So that is, I mean, that's a 5 for 5 right here, Andrew.
This is one of my proudest moments. I know we had to fudge it a little bit, but I'm taking it, and this is, yes, more crappy WCW questions.
And look, we'll let Zach, you know, Zach can email in and tell us whether or not he disagrees with my take. But I think you were spot on with the descriptions. You said the descriptions were okay. And that's what I think that's where you hit it to me. So.
Yeah. Let us know, Zach. But also, don't take this away from me.
Chad in Nebraska's got one in honor of the Motor City Machine Guns with the X and World titles this week. This is an all Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley related 5-0 challenge. Andrew, anything less than 5 out of 5, and I'll be very disappointed, according to Chad. That's what he says here.
Dang it.
Number one. Motor City Machine Guns name initially before they changed it was what?
The Murder City Machine Guns.
Number two, who did the Motor City Machine Guns beat in Ring of Honor for the tag team titles?
Oh, I was not a Ring of Honor guy then.
I was not either, really, but I would watch their pay-per-views, and I remember watching this match. They beat the Young Bucks.
Did they? Nice.
And they did, because at the time that was kind of like a dream match, and it had not happened yet, I don't believe. And they were just out of Impact. Most of the Machine Guns were just out of Impact. They did some stuff in Ring of Honor, and they were immediately put with the Young Bucks, as you would kind of expect them to be. So,
yeah.
Number three, what year did they win the tag team title gauntlet for the gold? I would just be taking a guess.
Let's see, 2008 maybe? No, let's go 9.
It's funny, I was going to say 2009.
Yeah.
So let's go with that, 2009. All right, number four, with Petey Williams, Shelley, and Saban. With Petey Williams, Shelley and Saban are part of the band High Crusade. What is the name of their only album release? God. The Canadian Destroyers.
Well, yeah. I'm done with that.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Even the only one
number
of them.
Number five. Oh, for one of them. Yeah, that's true, for one of them. What pay-per-view or Impact Plus show did the Motor City Machine Guns return to Impact on?
Man, he's going to be so disappointed on me. Bound for Glory.
I mean, I know the year. I think it was during COVID, so I want to say it was 2020. I just don't remember the
show.
I was going to guess Slammiversary or Bound for Glory. Those are the biggest ones. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'm cool with Bound for Glory.
Cool. Bound for Glory 2020. Okay. Here we go. Motor City Machine Guns name initially before they changed it. Murder City Machine Guns is the correct answer, Andrew. One for one there. They beat the Young Bucks to win the ROH Tag Team title, so we get that one as well. What year did they win the Tag Team Gauntlet for the gold? We had 2009. I think you said this too. 2008.
Dang it.
So there you go. Petey Williams, Shelley and Saban, part of a band. What's the name of their only album released? The Canadian Destroyers. The correct answer is It's Not What You Think.
Oh. Okay.
And then what pay-per-view did they return to return to Impact? We had the year right, 2020, wrong show. We had Bound for Glory 2020, correct show was Slammiversary
2020. Oh, I felt it was Summary, and I didn't go for it.
There we go.
Sorry, Alex, Shelley.
Okay. All right, this one's from Jose in Golden Valley. Jose always has good ones that we never get right.
Right.
So, okay. $5 challenge, and we'll say, the man who's $80 million less richer today, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because the XFL had losses this year, it was kind of expected. Their first year, I don't think they did. They posted a loss, which people are kind of, is what's being reported, but at the same time, they expected to post a loss in year one. So, you know, I don't think it's devastating. Rock's got plenty of money.
Okay. I was worried about him.
Yeah. I don't think no one's going to be holding any food drives for The Rock here. He guest hosted Saturday Night Live 5 times. Can you name the 5 musical acts that were on the show that he has introduced?
This is cruel.
Oh, man.
The first one was like in 99, maybe.
So NSYNC? NSYNC. Great. I have zero idea of any of these. Let me put this up. Do you remember any of them? Could you name one right now? Like, oh, yeah, no, I definitely remember he was with, you know, Metallica that one time.
The only one I watched was that original one, and I haven't seen that since 2000, whenever it first aired, 25 years ago.
Okay, so we're straight up guessing here. All right, well, NSYNC is one.
Ashley Simpson? Yep.
Oh, maybe he was on the famous Ashley Simpson episode.
Yeah.
Limp Thinking episode. Who else? Is it just a popular, I don't know.
Adele,
sure.
I'll let you guess the last two.
Okay. Then I'm going to go, Nicki Minaj.
Oh, I love it. That's got to be it.
And we'll go only because in the background I'm watching the NBA Finals and I just came across, they just showed an advertisement for American Idol. We'll go Katy Perry.
Oh, perfect. I think we're going at least 4 for 5 on this.
I think we're going at least 4 for 5 too. Okay, let's see. Number one, the first one, the year 2000, AC/DC.
That was my second guess.
Mine too. So we missed out on that one. The second musical guest, musical act, 2002 Rock hosted, and it was, I don't even heard of this guy, Andrew W.K.
Oh, the party guy. God, yeah. That's, I would have never guessed.
The party guy.
Yeah, his all of his songs are about, like, partying. He's kind of like in the Jackass type. I don't know if he's in that group, but he fits that vibe.
Okay. 2009. I'm embarrassed. I'm going to butcher this guy's last name. There's probably somebody out there that's like, how do you not know this guy? Ray LaMontagne?
No idea who that is.
Let me see if I can figure it out. Hold on.
He's probably listening right now, too.
He might be. He is an American singer, songwriter. What's his most famous song? I have no idea. I don't really know. The first thing that comes up when I Google his name is, what the hell happened to Ray LaMontagne? And it says, he now lives in the countryside with his wife, surrounded by chickens and sheep.
Oh, sounds lovely.
He lives with his religion and nature.
Why not?
Why not? Sure. Sounds like looks like a country guy. And the fourth time Rock hosted the show, the musical guest was George Ezra. That was in 2015. And then by the grace of God, we're going to get one here.
Oh, no way.
2017. Of the five we guessed, I'm going to give you this, Andrew. NSYNC, Ashley Simpson, Adele, Nicki Minaj, and Katy Perry. 2017, The Rock hosts and SNL. One of those is correct.
Oh,
which
man.
Of those is correct?
Nicki Minaj?
Close, Katy Perry.
Yeah, close. Yeah.
So we can thank the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets for
wow,
me watching
a,
the game in the background and happening to see Katy Perry in the background, which often prompted me to guess Katy Perry.
So take that, Jose. You didn't get us for the third week
nope.
in a row.
We got one.
Yeah,
boom.
Streak's over.
Andrew, that's all I've got. Is there anything left that you would like to discuss tonight?
Let me know if you got five more questions in you for an opportunity to win $5.
I absolutely do.
This has never happened before in the history of the show, so this is really special.
Uh-oh.
But tonight's theme is Alex Shelley.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah. What year did the Motor City Machine Guns first debut in TNA? This has never happened in the history of the show. It may never happen again. But what other tag team name did the Motor City Machine Guns use in Ring of Honor?
I think it might be the Murder City Machine Guns. Ironically enough, I would have gotten this wrong up until 5 minutes ago.
Oh, man, I was, like, scrambling to try to come up with another answer. But I was like, no, we're going with it.
Thanks, Chad.
This is what it is.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, Chad. I want to thank Chad for that.
Besides Kevin Nash, who were the other two members of Paparazzi Productions?
Besides Kevin Nash, who were the other two?
Yes.
Okay. I do remember this, sorta. I just don't remember their name. Well, I'll start with Johnny Devine, because that's the one I remember. The other guy I can picture, but I can't for the life of me. Sorry, I can't picture. I don't think this is right. I want to say Kazarian, but I don't think that's right. But I'm going to say it because it's who I'm putting there. So, yeah, Kazarian.
Kazarian. And this might have actually, I think some form of this was actually a question on the show earlier, but on a different episode. What was Shelley's nickname when he first joined the company?
Oh, we did talk about this at some point.
Yeah, it's a redo.
I don't know. Yeah, we definitely talked about this. It had something to do... Excuse me. What the hell was it? Was it like Cubby Bear? It was something stupid. I think it was like Cubby Bear or something. That's what's coming to mind. Cubby Alex Shelley, Cubby Bear. Cubby Bear. Cubby Bear Alex Shelley.
Cubby Bear.
Yeah.
Last question, number five. Lockdown 2012. Golden Bear.
Golden Bear. Golden Bear.
Hello, Golden.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I wasn't locked in yet, so.
Yeah. You're not locked in, so anytime. Lockdown 2012 saw the last televised match of the Motor City Machine Guns and Impact until 2020. Who were their opponents?
In 2012, right? Not when they came back.
Oh, yes, correct. 2012.
Okay. The 2012 opponents would have been, who would have been? Give me a tag team here. Mike, come on, think of something. Tag team TNA 2012. You know what? I'm going to go, I don't know. I'm going to go the Dudleys. I'm going to say Brother Devon and Brother Ray.
All right. Five questions, five answers. Are you locked in?
You can feel the electricity in the air.
That one actually kind of works. Well,
yeah, it does, right?
I am going to give you 2 points. Two points.
Okay. You said you're going to give me 2 points. It makes it sound like it may be a controversial 2 points.
I mean, somebody might, yeah. One is for
Jose's
sure.
Jose's going to get upset is what you're saying?
Yeah, we're going to get an email next week.
Okay.
What year did the Motor City Machine Guns first debut in TNA? You got 2004. It was 2007, April 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I had it. You know what's funny is I thought I remembered watching them wrestle on the Fox Sports show.
Oh, I think Shelly was there. But
maybe Shelly was there. That's why I went earlier, because I was like, yeah. I said, I think I was thinking they debuted in that Fox Sports era, which would have been like 04, 05, somewhere on there.
Actually, they were both there. They just weren't on the team. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
I think so.
All right. Well.
Besides Kevin Nash, who were the other two members of Paparazzi Productions? You were 100% right on Johnny Devine. It was not Kazarian. It was Austin Starr, better known as Austin Aries. So you were kind of...
So is that a very controversial half point?
I think...
You know, you got Johnny Devine. I think that's fine. I think the next one might be a little controversial.
Okay.
What was Shelley's nickname?
I like controversy.
Creates cash, I hear. What was Shelly's nickname when he first joined the company? You guessed Golden Bear. It was actually Baby Bear, but you got the word bear. So I'm going to give you a half for getting bear.
What did I say before Golden Bear? Cubby Bear?
Cubby Bear.
Cubby Bear didn't sound. what is it? Is that a... Is that from like Starsky and Hutch or something? Wasn't there? Like, was that the Snoop Dogg played?
Is that what it is? Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Is that? I can look that up. Hold on, let me Google that. Because I'm like, where have I heard? I've heard Cubby Bear from something before, but I couldn't figure out where the hell. Let's see, Cubby Bear. No, Huggy Bear. That's Huggy
Bear. Okay, that does sound
all right. Okay. No. All right. Well, I was cool. I mean, I had bear, so I was in the right. I was in the right. I had the right animal.
You're getting a 0.5 for that. Absolutely. So, Lockdown 2012 saw the last televised match of the Machine Guns and Impact until 2020. Who were their opponents that night? You guessed the Dudleys. It was Samoa Joe and Magnus.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that because that's not like a team, like a regular team. So.
Right.
All right.
A little tricky. That was a tricky one, but.
I like it, though. Was that all five?
That was all five, yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought there was one more. My bad. All right, Andrew, anything else? I don't think we have anything else, right? I think we'll just be back next week, and we'll talk about Collision.
We'll be back. Congrats, Alex. He's been one of my favorite wrestlers since I was in college. Cool to see him win the title. Well done.
I ended up watching it on the replay because I had nothing going on the other night, so I did buy the show, and then I fell asleep before the main event. So that's not an indictment on Impact, by the way. I like barely slept the night before, so I fell asleep on my couch watching the show.
Man, it happens.
It does. But I was able to watch. As soon as I woke up at like 2 a.m,
yeah.
I was able to go in and pull the replay right up. So it was kind of nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. Like, so I got a month of it. We'll see how it goes.
There you go. Andrew, where else can people find you?
Check me out on – don't check out my old What Culture videos. That's a waste of everyone's time. Listen to the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast. It's a silly horror comedy stuff, and it's not just me, so there's more talented people than I. We are recording tomorrow, so there should be a new episode in a week or two, the Unexpected Storytelling Podcast.
Follow me on Twitter at TorchicMan. Email the show, alleadaftershow@gmail.com. Call us next week if you didn't call us tonight, 515-605-9345. Again, Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's when we go live, and we'll take calls. And you can listen to the show on the PW Torch Blog Talk Radio page, which I think is blogtalkradio.com/PW Torch. Let me try that. blogtalkradio.com/PW Torch. Does that bring me to the page? No, it does not. Okay. How do I get to the page? That way I can tell the people the right way to go.
One of our best plugs.
One of the best plugs, yeah. Go, we can't tell you where to go. go somewhere. I don't know. Figure it out.
Figure it out on your own.
Figure it out yourselves. What do you want me to tell you? Let me see. How do I... Andrew, there's a way I can figure this out to tell the people if they want to listen to us live how they can do it. Let me try following this link and seeing what – oh, there it is. Go to blogtalkradio.com/pro-wrestling-torch. There it is.
Love it.
So it's blogtalkradio.com/pro-wrestling-torch. That's the way to get to the PW Torch Blog Talk Radio page. You can listen to our show live on Mondays, or if you're like, Mike, we don't want to listen to you live, you can just listen to your podcast feed the way you've always done it. Either way is fine with us. But if you want to call the show, Mondays at 9 p.m. is the way to do it. So that's it for Andrew. I'm Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy Collision, and hopefully people collide, and there's a lot of collisions and intensity, and hopefully the show on Wednesday doesn't actually have dynamite there because – they don't do well with that. So we'll talk to you next week. Bye.